In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is at times easy to forget how truly blessed we are by the love that God bestows upon us. So often we are in a disposition of asking God for things, maybe even demanding things from God. Questioning, as we are told we should not question in our gospel today, not really believing that Christ is the Messiah who has cared for our needs. And so in the midst of all of that confusion that may come about, all of that anxiety that sometimes is engendered by trying to be self-directed, to being willful, overshadows the greatest gift that has been revealed to us, the depth of the Father's love for each of us. So much does the Father loves us, we know that he sends forth his Son to suffer and die in order that we might live. And that life that we receive is life lived abundantly. And the sacrifice that has been made in order that we can live in this love is nothing short of the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior. God, who became man, died that we might have life. The Father indeed loves us. But even as we hear those words and understand the implications of them, we have to guard ourselves from viewing the reality even of this great gift of his love from the perspective of the world, or questioning the manner in which this love has been revealed to us, or the sacrifices that are now required from each of us in order to actually live in this love. Not to earn it, because it is not something that can be earned, but rather a gift having been bestowed upon us to live in and with and through the love that God has for us. Love in the Christian dispensation now requires from us the same degree of sacrifice that Christ himself made manifest on the cross. To accept God's love for us, and then to put that love into practice as James exhorts us to be doers of the things of God, requires then that we too be willing to sacrifice ourselves in the way that God gave himself for us. This is why the cross does not disappear in the Easter season. Rather, the cross, as it will always, remains as an integral part to an unfolding of and a living out of the Christian dispensation of the Christian life. But whereas in the Lenten season, the cross was set before us as that sacrifice that must be made, the arduous journey to the foot of the cross, now we embrace the cross because we know we are embracing love itself. To carry our crosses, to sacrifice ourselves, to give ourselves away to others, to think more of the good of others than we do for the good of ourselves, is truly what we are called to do, and we know the fullness of life that is given to us when we live this way. This, sadly, is the confusion oftentimes that the world itself does not understand, that to love God completely and totally to the point of sacrifice, to live in a life of obedience and doing the things that God requires that we do, is not a loss of anything, but a gain of the only thing that truly matters, and that is a deep and abiding intimacy with the Lord. But the world does not understand this, and in truth, the world has sought fit to try to skew the proper understanding of who God is and the relationship that we share with them. I don't often watch much television, but yesterday I was at a celebration of the Kentucky Derby, the most beautiful, maybe 2 minutes of sport in the world. And at the end of it, there was a commercial that came on. A commercial that was very actually well done, very powerful and profound as it unfolded. And it was all of these images of various different people washing the feet of other various different people. But as it went on, clearly there was an agenda there. There were rainbow banners, there were people who looked like men but were actually women and vice versa, washing the feet of Muslims and Jews and Christians. And clearly the message was, for those of you who do not get it, is that we are called to wash the feet of anybody and everybody. To question who they are, question what they are about. This is, as the commercial went on to make very clear, this is what Jesus did. Therefore, that's exactly what you are supposed to do as well. And in truth, Jesus has made very clear that the mandatum of the mystery of the cross is to go and to wash the feet of others. But that doesn't happen in a vacuum. That doesn't happen without context, also without expectation. Because to be a doer of the things of God, to love as God has loved us, requires that we also preach and teach hard truths, hard sayings. Life must be transformed if one is going to accept the love that God bestows upon us. Sacrifices are incumbent upon us if we are going to love as God loves. God's love is not willy-nilly, capricious, open to anything and everything. God's love is specific and clear in its content, message, and direction. And again, the world uses his love actually against us. And if we preach and teach the truths of Holy Mother Church in the way that Holy Mother Church knows they need to be preached and taught, we are oftentimes called intolerant. We are called unfeeling. We lack the love that we are required to show forth. But brothers and sisters, nothing could be further from the truth. That truly is the evil one whispering in our ears, distorting and creating chaos and confusion. That is indeed, after all, what it is that he does. So how then does one divine that true love that comes from God? How does one know that he or she is living in that? And the answer is a simple one. It is that peace that rests in the very souls of our existences. Not a peace born of resignation. That simply is ultimately defeat. Rather, it is a peace that comes from allowing the world to swirl around us. But a peace nonetheless, especially in the midst of sacrifice, in the midst of attack, in the midst of being rejected. Instead of running away, instead of being afraid, instead of allowing anxiety to dwell up inside us, we accept whatever it is that is set before us. And because we know that we are loved and we know the power and strength of that love, we're able to endure, to rise above, to triumph. These are not pious platitudes, nor are they merely words that I am saying to you in order to continue to move on. Rather, it is the very reality that this oratory has lived. For every difficulty, for every setback, for every rejection, we have continued to grow and prosper. That is not a result of anything that we have done individually, but rather collectively living as a group of men and women faithfully, seeking to do only one thing, and that is to love as that we have been loved ourselves. First, loving God. And of course, manifesting perfect love of God by offering this perfect sacrifice in the most perfect and sublime way. And then, armed with the love that we receive in the Eucharistic sacrifice, going forth and loving the world. And so St. James makes very clear that we need to then comport ourselves in a manner that reflects what it is that we are doing. We are seeking to love, and therefore we should act in that way. This is where at times it becomes difficult, because we are required to love our enemies, to avoid using our tongues to speak against them and not speak instead the things of truth. I am exhibit one, guilty number one, of oftentimes allowing my mouth to move faster than my heart or my head, saying and behaving in a way that is not in concert with the love that I want to manifest and the love that I know I need to live precisely because of the peace that comes to me. One of the greatest graces that has come to me as rector over the last almost now 6 years is that as my focus has become more and more narrow, my task has become more and more clear to me, it actually has become easier and easier to be a doer of the things of God. I've given up on trying to transform the world. That's beyond my purview and my pay grade. I've actually given up on trying to transform the church. That too is beyond my pay grade. I've given up actually trying to transform the Archdiocese of St. Louis, the presbyterate, the deanery. I have one task, and that is to get you all to heaven. And if I fulfill that task in love, I am then cooperating with God and will hopefully make a place for myself in heaven as well. Some might find such a narrow focus constraining and confining. I find it to be liberating and provide me freedom. Obedient to the one thing that I'm asked to do makes it actually easier for me to fulfill the one thing that I'm being asked to do. And so know your state in life and know what it is that is being required of you and then live in and through that state of life well, focusing on that and only that. Because the beautiful thing is this, brothers and sisters, when we narrow our focus, God is able to then allow that love to truly overflow. We're not cutting ourselves off from the transformation of the world. We actually are contributing to it, but in our small, unique, and particular way, allowing God to use us as He Himself sees fit. After all, it is God's divine providence that directs the world. It is the cross of Christ that has brought about salvation. I am not, nor will I ever be, or in any context, the Savior of the world. But I can cooperate in my own salvation. I can be an instrument for your salvation. And together, as we have seen over these last several years, the fruit that is born in doing the one thing that God asks of us, and doing that well, and doing that in love. And so all those things that cause us anxiety and difficulty, all those experiences that might cause us to wag our tongues and speak ill of others, those things remain. And sadly, there will be times when we will fall into the temptation to give voice to frustration or to allow anxiety to well up inside of us. Of course, we return to the sacrament of reconciliation. We seek forgiveness for our sins, and we then stand up and move on, armed with God's grace. To always be mindful, brothers and sisters, of the love that God has for us. How unworthy and undeserving, and yet how blessed we actually are. The ultimate disposition that we should have before the gift that has been given to us is one of profound gratitude. So pledge, maybe just for today, to focus on what it is that God has given you and what it is that God has done for you. Pray by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the graces given in this Eucharistic sacrifice, and those who present themselves for Holy Communion, the God who will be inside of you, to this day, this moment now, to recognize God's love for you, and then pledge yourselves to be a doer of that same love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.